Doesn't work. Thank you, Madalena. We are moving to the second speaker, Mr. Hannes Werner from Vienna University of Technology, the Institute for Software Technology and Interactive Systems. If there is time at the end of all the speeches, we'll open the floor to questions and discussion. So if the presenters are short enough, we can have some more open remarks. Thank you.
Good morning. Thanks for the invitation and also for the hospitality you offered. It was an excellent program, not only during the day, but also at the evening, visiting the museum and having the dinner. It was a little bit too much, so I think this is also the reason we are starting a little bit late. So thanks again for inviting me and for offering this excellent opportunity. Let me also express my appreciation for the project, Michael, especially for the organizational effort you are putting in. It shows a big support from different stakeholders, which is important, public as well as private. And as always in such projects, it's a technological and an organizational side. And I think one should put emphasis especially on the organizational issues. Technology is coming, but the organizational issues are somehow the hard ones. My issue is to continue what you have said previously on the tourism and e-tourism, which was already expressed from the previous speaker. And e-tourism I understand as, let's say, the use and development of e-commerce and IT systems for the travel and tourism industry, as well as the analysis, what's happening in the market, and also forecasting. So it's a constructive as well as an analytical approach. Before starting, I would like to use Google as a, let's say, showing what's as a mirror of the world. And I was putting yesterday, after the dinner, some keywords and looking what were the results, how many results. And if you put artificial intelligence in, this is the numbers. If you put computer science, if you put e-commerce, and now it's coming tourism, which is a little bit less. But if you put the word travel, you have approximately 900 million results, websites, pages coming up, not only related to the travel industry, but the importance of the world. Putting cultural heritage in, you have 90 million results. What is the most used word in the web? What do you imagine? Or what is everybody thinking about? Normally you use the word sex, which is astonishing. If you put the word sex in, you only have 400 million results. Which somehow you are mirroring. If you're doing really sex sites, you are not using the word sex anymore. Otherwise, you are somehow blocked and you are not cached anymore. So this is somehow mirroring. But it shows you somehow using the web as a, let's say, research pool where you can use the information about the relative importance. The talk will have three major parts, and I will try to do it in 20 minutes, as we have agreed. I will skip some slides, and if you have any questions during my presentation, please interrupt and ask me or comment. So it's some e-tourism facts, situation and where is it going, and then some specific challenges which are not specifically related to the cultural heritage, but related to more to computer science as well as tourism issues. These are numbers, and they were already expressed previously, so I can run over them. It just gives you the impression 18% of the total turnover in the tourism industry and the travel industry versus the final consumer is done via the internet in Europe. In the US, you have already 30% of the market has turned over to the web. These are real transactions. So one third of the market, business to consumer in total of the travel industry, is done via the internet, and Europe is somehow lagging behind 1.5 or 2 years here. You also have a quite substantial penetration also from the primary supply side, also small industries, small-sized industries like the tourism industry, where 80% of them have of hotels have websites. And in Austria, we have above 90%. And already 60% of them support online sales, which is an important number. There is unequally distributed amount of sales, obviously, but it's a high number. In general terms, On the other side around, in the e-commerce, as already stated, travel and tourism is maybe the most important application field in the business to consumer e-commerce side. So we speak about 40 to 50% of the total turnover in business to consumer e-commerce is done from the travel and tourism industry. Not in number of transactions, but in turnover in sales. But this is not astonishing, since IT was already important for the tourism industry in the past, the 60s. The computerized reservation system, global distribution systems, which were, beside the banking system, the first worldwide networks, electronic networks, in the 60s, late 50s. He has a number of international conferences, emergence of a scientific community. When we did the first conference on e-tourism in the 90s in Austria, the guys asked us whether we are crazy, what this is not an important issue, why should we go there? Now you have several conferences with several hundred participants, even 1,000 participants, both from the scientific as well as from the industry and public side. And travel and tourism in this specific context of e-tourism, of electronic distribution, can also serve as an enabler, as a facilitator for other sectors, for example, for cultural heritage. There are several examples where well-performing tourism websites, travel websites, have integrated offers, interactivity means, and things like this. So it serves, in this specific context, as an enabler, but not only enabling, but also facilitating, putting some emphasis on this. This is some data regarding what are the information sources potential travelers use before taking a travel for decision. And you see here the different countries, and then you see personal recommendation, web search, travel agents, and you see two main blocks, which is on one side the web, using the internet, the web, but still, and here I'm not agreeing with my previous speaker, still the personal recommendation is one of the decisive issues when I take a decision. Those things are not alternative, exclusive. You use them all together. So the decision process is rather complex. It's an emotional one. It's not based on rational axioms. It's more surfing around, browsing around, not only in the internet, but in the real world. So personal recommendation has and will have an important issue in this. What happened in the market when you start, let's say, from the internet, the web, 93, 94, Berners-Lee, the first applications appeared in 95, 96, and you had online presence, using the web as a presentation means, like a classical brochure. Very few interactivity, little interactivity, static websites. It changed very fast to booking sites, which is not another version, it's another generation of system, because you have to put a database back, you have to have availability, you have to have security issues, transactions, security, and things like this. So let's say the transaction side is done, so this discussion whether you should support transaction or not, this is already over, you have to. On the other side, after that, now we are in the customer retention, interactivity, customer relationship management, which still is another generation of systems, because you need a lot of statistical tools, a lot of statistical know-how, how to interpret the interaction you have with your potential customer to keep them. You have to analyze a huge amount of log files. So there is a, let's say, it's not an evolution like going from one version of a system to another one. It's really new generations of systems. And if you really build systems, let's say, on the last stage where we are now, you have to speak about several million of euros of investment, putting all the things together with customer, with statistical tools, customer interaction means, as well as database transaction side. So there is some amount of money there needed. What is the general situation here? And I ask the chairman to give me a sign if I'm too long or shout a lot. I have put here that in business to consumer, e-commerce in general, we had a rather evolutionary development. The forecasts were of logistic curves really exploding, and this did not happen. There are very few statistical, real statistical data available, and nearly all of them show rather linear growth in business to consumer. Exception, travel and tourism. There the forecasts were really met. We have really more than linear growth. So this is one sector showing let's say, results as it was foreseen in the 2000-2001, where the internet hype was there. We still have a kind of a digital divide there, which is big versus small. So smaller companies lag behind, which is somehow a contradiction, because we were assuming that the internet is a cheap technology would enable also smaller companies to be represented in the internet as the big ones. This is still true, but it didn't happen. So if you look at the data, there's a clear distinction between small and big companies. The other thing is that you have a digital divide on a regional scale. I'm referring here to Europe. You have a clear distinction between North and South. So also there you have a digital divide which can be explained, but that one should keep aware of this. What also happened is that the market was not created, the e-tourism market was not created by the traditional players in the tourism market. It were new entrants, new companies coming from outside, like Expedia, Travelocity, Priceline, and so on. The big players were looking what's happening, being afraid of moving to the market, and then they moved, like TUI, Thomas Cook, the big tour operators. Some of them think they were too late already. So the market is really now governed by these newcomers entering and creating this online market. This now is competitive response with multi-channel sales, multi-channel distribution. TUI, you know TUI, the biggest worldwide, biggest tour operator, up to 3 years, 2.5 years ago, they didn't have a clear internet strategy. They didn't know exactly what they want. If you hear today, if you listen today of a presentation of the CEO of TUI, it sounds like they have invented the internet. Because today he says, we are doing internet, we are doing internet, we are doing internet. But they had to wait 8 years for that. And there's a specific position of the destinations. And I have to say here, since you are somehow related to the destinations market, like Italy or the regions of Italy, they are lagging behind, with some exceptions. But in general, destinations did not move as fast. They are acting as aggregators, putting the local supply, putting together the local supply, and trying to bring the local supply in a rather homogeneous way to the electronic market. And they are constrained by specific rules. They still have a problems whether or not to support online transaction, booking, and things like this. And this is somehow a barrier for destinations to move. There's quite the money spent in this area, but it's doubtful whether this money was spent well up to now. So you still have this destination lagging behind. This I'm going very fast. Still missing, I agree with you in general terms that mobile application is important, but we still have the real application scene there. We still know yet exactly the acceptance patterns. We don't know really when the people use it or the better they use it. The business model is not clear. It's by the telecom operators governed with specific business model, which is somehow a barrier to enter. So this did not really happen. What we have foreseen in 2002, 2003, that everything will be GSM, UMTS based, and we will have access. Decreasing prices as it was foreseen did not really happen. It's depending on the consumer, the user, how he or she can use the internet, whether they can find the cheapest price or not. On average, they do not find. Okay, so this is not really that the prices are decreasing. They can, but that's not. You have disintermediation, so middlemen falling out, and then you have re-intermediation, new middlemen governing the market, controlling the market. I like new players, I will come back to that. You have a permanent innovation going on. The web is a transparent technology. You have an immediate imitation of business model and technology. You see immediately what the other does, and then you can do it. And when you see the application, you can also see what's the business model behind it. So in very mature markets, in sectors, the websites look nearly all the same, because they are watching each other every day what the others are doing. You have a consumer-driven market. So we are going from consumer-focused, where we look what the consumer wants, and we a priori or posteriori are analyzing consumer needs, by statistical tool questionnaires, we are going to a market, or we have the market already, where the computer defines what he or she wants. So it's driven by the consumer, and you can see it on the websites with Web 2.0, with blogs, comments, things like this, but also on the product side, where consumers define the product themselves, and then the supply has a competition whether or not they can fulfill this demand. So it's a consumer-driven, or let's say somehow a consumer-favored market, with this related new market form auctions, which not necessarily lead to lower prices. Auction is something well known. What was not known is now forecast selling. There are websites out there who tell you, by comparing prices and analyzing historical data, whether you should buy today or tomorrow. And looking at the data available at the web. So they have some econometric models giving you the probability whether the prices will go up or down. And this is somehow expanding the transparency of the market. It's, let's say, decreasing information asymmetry. It's giving more knowledge to the consumer. We have an informatization of the entire value chain in the tourism industry, so when 80% of the hotels have a website, you can include them in the value chain directly via the tour operators, travel agent, and up to the final consumer or direct distribution. This is somehow chaotic. It's really transforming industry. It's not only process engineering, so that you're optimizing your processes. It's also network engineering, which is you have to identify your value proposition in a network of cooperating or competing companies and define what you will do in this network. So you have to engineer your network. Are you a major player in the network? Are you a minor player? What is the value you can offer to the network? So it's not only your internal processes. If you just focus, there are many companies focusing nearly exclusively, and I have some names, but I will not tell them here, rather big one. They were focusing on optimizing internal processing, what you call business process reengineering. When they were finished, the market was gone. They were optimally organized internally, but could not react to the market anymore. What's happening with this informatization of the value chain is that services become commodities, daily commodities, where you do not develop yourself, you use it from the outside. You use services offered by some provider, like web services. You interact, you are not developing. So what's coming is a deconstruction of the value chain. So it's more fragmented, the value chain. But it's not a hierarchical chain, it's more a network, where you, depending on specific opportunities, cooperate with different players in the market, using the services for a longer period or for a smaller period. So it's more, let's say, chaotic, the situation. Okay? I have to look at my time. And then you have a trend towards concentration. Here you have the top website in Europe. In red you see the US American. On the left side you see US, where the previous was the entire online tourism market. This is now the segment of the tourism market just looking at online travel agencies, okay? Those who are simulating the travel agent in the electronic world. And on the left side, you see that four in the US are controlling the market. And on the right side, you see that four are also somehow controlling the market, but not as in the US. So this is the good news. The bad news is that these four are US American companies. This is the bad news for Europe. It's not bad news for US. So at the moment, when the market really took off, Europe was not able to compete on this level, even if we had the technology. We were not able to compete in this market. We had some strong players, but these were taken over by US American companies, as you see down there. So what's happening is really an evolution of order and disorder in the world. Order is concentration, standardized services. Disorder is deconstruction of the value chain. So you have a disorder on structure, services, as well as content. So this is somehow the chaotic thing here. And you should analyze where you are. So I'm hurrying up with some challenges on the user side, enabling access, understanding the user, behavior analysis, not only knowing what they do, but also forecasting what they might do, or giving recommendation. This is the, I would have some explanation, but this is, on the supply side, what's the business model? What is your network position? Just a simple question is not simple to answer. If you have marketing money, do you put it into search engine optimization or do you buy AdWords? This is not a simple question. This is a simple question, but the answer is difficult. And there are no clear answers to that. You have dynamic networks integrating the final consumer, so your services, your content, interoperability, but also consumer interaction. You have destinations, and this I have to show. This is visiteurope.com. Who of you knows it? This is the bad news from a European initiative. This should act as a unique access point for tourists visiting Europe. It was funded by the European Commission, is now operated by the European Travel Commission, which is an association of 33 national tourism organizations. And it should serve as a unique access point, and it should serve to drive traffic to the national tourism boards, websites such as ItalyIt. So they should participate there, or they are participating there. And this, the objective is, and I'm bringing it because it's somehow similar to the Michael approach, it should somehow maintain the autonomy of the local or regional or national applications, but somehow enabling a joint presentation and marketing. So the approach we did was as much content as needed on the other side, upper side, but as little as necessary, so that you are not replicating content. Just extract some part of the content. And then do some linking and content extraction. So creating an intelligent linking and extraction engine. This is somehow the principle. And then add some user-driven services. There are different aggregation means. I'm not going to talk about these technology issues. So this is now running with 6 languages. They have put some money in by ETC. They are now extended by 3 further languages, Chinese, Japanese, and Russian. This is one thing which also relates to Michael. It's not sufficient to put the content in once. Okay? So if you have content in 9 languages, you have to update it daily. And when you do the languages, decide previously whether you have the money, the resources to do this permanent maintenance. Otherwise, you will have some a content cemetery, as we say in Austrian. So there will be, it's not up to date anymore. We have semantic search at the website, recommendation services. We do comparison, shopping support on airlines, and we have relations to other services like UNESCO Cultural Heritage. What we used internally was semantic web technology. So we have an ontology, semantic web technology, we have an ontology. And we have mapping of content, concepts, as well instances between the different databases, which is done automatically. So there are mapping routines, taking the content from one website and mapping it to the central database, or otherwise putting links. And then we have some wrapper technology. Okay, on the market level, I think the most interesting thing which is happening today is, since the web is really covering or somehow covering the world, or the information or the services we offer, use it as a market research tool. Use the data available. There are so many data outside. And use those data, those services as a market research means. It can tell you a lot of that what's happening in the market. The assumption is that the web is somehow mirroring the world. It's not completely whether this. I'm finishing now. I see already that you put the watch. These are the conclusions. But I just took 20 minutes. Huh? Okay. So it's transforming the industry. It's a strategic issue. One thing is what it shows. This is general for computer science. It's integration of research, science, and application related to industrial innovation. For example, the research question, where to put money, either in search engine optimization or AdWords, it's a research question. It's coming from the application. It's not a, an empty question. We have to do with increasing complexity, and there multidisciplinarity is a major issue of different things. And I would like to stop with the issue of digital divide, which is, I promised myself to put it always, but I leave you with the interpretation of this. Thank you.